considering whether Chatham Community Church is going to be the place where you're going to settle during your time here in Chatham County, that's a great opportunity for you to hear more as you make that decision. We're going to have a starting point next week. So one Sunday from now, next week, we're going to have a starting point after both services. So it'll last 10 to 15 minutes. It'll start a couple of minutes at the end of after the end of the service. We'll gather in that office that's right to the door outside the doors to my left. So come join us. You don't have to RSVP. Just if you come here next week, just come and join us for that, and you'll hear a little bit more about what we're about here at Chatham Community Church. One last announcement that I'd like to share with you is that those of you who've been around for a little bit know that we've been in the search for a new location for this campus. We want a place that will allow us room to grow and it'll help us settle for a while. And particularly, we'd love a place where we could roll back into one service and have the whole family together. And we've got some news, some progress that we've made in that area, and we want to share it with you. And also, there are some decisions that we need to make for which we require a vote. We can't share all of that in between services or just after a service. So on Friday, September 12th at 7 p.m. here at Chatham Mills, Friday, September 12th here at Chatham Mills at 7 p.m., we're going to have a congregational meeting. We want to invite all of you to come join us. We'll share what God's been doing. We'll share some of the things we're pursuing, and we're going to invite you to vote on a couple of paths forward that we might take. If you are a partner, if you've signed a partnership agreement or have been grandfathered in, you are welcome to vote. If you've not signed one of those yet, you're still welcome to join, ask your questions, and participate, and we'll make sure we make it clear at the time of the vote for partners to participate in that. So come join us Friday, September 12th at 7 p.m. here at Chatham Mills to hear some of the exciting stuff that God has been putting before us and hopefully how God is leading us to a new location in the near future. What would you do if it felt like the help that you needed in order to survive was a million miles away? What would you do? That's the question Mark Watney has to answer for himself in The Martian, a novel by Andy Weir, which is later made into a movie starring Matt Damon. Mark has been left behind on Mars, his crew assuming he is dead. Means of communicating back to Earth or back to the ship are damaged. Supplies are limited. It seems like there's no way to last on Mars and no way to let anyone know that he is still alive. The situation is dire. What would you do? Now, by the end of the movie, Mark is safely back on Earth. Spoiler alert. See, at first glance, the situation does feel dire. It feels destined for doom. But what Mark ends up realizing is that everything that he needs to survive and to communicate back to Earth and to the ship so that they can coordinate a rescue is at his disposal, is available to him. He just has to tap into what he has access to. He has to tap into what he has access to. Now, that isn't without its challenges. But boy, does it make for a fun story. It makes for a fun ride. Early this year, we launched a 3-year vision for our church. We had been praying and talking and gathering people to sort of listen and press into what God might want from us for these next 3 years. And as we talked to people, as we gathered for conversations, as we prayed for what might be next in this season for Chatham Community Church, our pastor, lead pastor, Pastor Alex, had a phrase that came to him, force multiplier for kingdom good. And the more he shared that with people, the more it resonated. Part of what we were saying as we were gathering, as we were praying, as we were talking, as we were saying, God, you've blessed us in such abundant ways. We've got such great people, so many resources, so many skills, so many talents, so many good connections in the community, such a good reputation that we've built already. What would you want to do with that? We're bringing it all to you. We're bringing all this before you and asking you what you're going to do with that or what you might want to do with that for the next 3 years. And the sense that we got from God was that he was going to use all that he had already given us, and he was going to use us to bring about even more good in Chatham County, more kingdom good, more earthly good. The force multiplier for kingdom good vision has a number of components or areas that we're going to be focusing on, and we are focusing on over these next 3 years. But we've summarized it with this image that categorizes things sort of into three big buckets and connects to our overall mission and vision. As we partner with God over these next 3 years, we're going to connect more people to God. We're going to connect more people to community. We're going to develop further as authentic followers of Jesus and develop more people as followers of Jesus. And partnering with individuals and organizations, we're going to engage our community for good in greater ways. We're going to spend 3 Sundays focusing each on one part of the vision. We started last week with the Connect section. If you missed it, feel free to go online and listen to it. And this week, we're going to focus on the Develop section. Part of our mission statement here at Chatham Community Church is to develop as authentic followers of Jesus and to help others develop as authentic followers of Jesus as well. And what we've sensed is that over these next 3 years, we're going to multiply the ways we develop and the pathways we provide for others to develop as well. Authentic followers of Jesus. That feels like a really appealing image, maybe a little bit of a mysterious image, maybe a great thing to aspire to, and certainly a challenging thing to achieve, doesn't it? Where does one even begin to develop as an authentic follower of Jesus? Maybe you felt at some point like you're so far from that and so uncertain about where to begin that the first step seems a million miles away. What do you do? Well, what if I told you that God has made available everything that you need to become an authentic follower of Jesus and to develop as an authentic follower of Jesus? God has made accessible everything we need to be fruitful people, people who grow in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, in gentleness, in self-control, and all the good things that God is about, and that can't, in such ways that can't help but change them and overflow in blessings for others. God wants us to become those kinds of people. He wants to form us into those kinds of people. Authentic followers of Jesus is not a puzzle for us to solve. It's not a mystery for us to unlock. Our part is to access what God has already made available to us. To access what God has already made available to us. So the invitation for you and for me is to tap into what God has already provided, because he has provided, for your development as an authentic follower of Jesus. That's going to be the invitation over and over again for you and for me over these next 3 years. So a question as we start, what have you been tapping into this season? What have you been tapping into? What is forming you? What is shaping you? And as we head into the passage, a question to consider is, what might God be inviting you to tap into today? What of what he's providing is he inviting you to tap into today? Because, folks, God is providing. God has provided. God will provide. So let's access it. Let's receive it. Let's grow through it. Let's become fruitful people, because we were made for that. We need what God has provided. And the people around us will be blessed as we access, as we tap into, as we are formed, and as we grow. They need it too. And they'll become more aware of their need and the pathway to have that need met as they see the fruit in us. The passage Colleen read for us comes from the second of 2 letters in the New Testament that are believed to have been written by the Apostle Peter. There's a case to be made that these letters are written late in Peter's life, so maybe sometime 30 to 35 years after Jesus' resurrection. There are other letters in the New Testament, and they have names like Galatians and Ephesians. Those letters are believed to have been written to particular Christian communities in particular cities. But this letter, rather than being written to the Christians and a particular community, seems to be written to all Christians and to have been destined to be distributed among all churches. It deals with themes that apply to all Christian communities. Themes like deceptive teaching, the future, new heaven, and new earth, and what it means to develop as followers of Jesus. Peter starts his letter by addressing that. And the first thing he talks about is God's provision. He says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. We're about 30 to 35 years into Christianity at this point. People have been coming to faith from all sorts of different backgrounds and other religious traditions. Each religion had its own paradigm for what it meant to live the kind of life that honored whatever God or gods you were following. One of the questions that the early church and the early church writers are answering is, how do we sort this out? And what parts of what we come with do we keep? What parts do we reject? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to live a faithful life as a Christian? To say it another way, early on, what they're sorting out is how to develop as authentic followers of Jesus. And the New Testament writers seek to answer that question. You can imagine some uncertainty, maybe even some anxiousness in people as they're sorting out what to keep and what to let go. Maybe you've felt that too, as you've started to come to church or as you've re-engaged with faith. What of the stuff that I've brought with me that I've learned along the way is still good? What do I keep? What is going to please God? What is not going to please God? What do I let go of? What do I need to add? How do I need to grow? None of us want to get it wrong. And we certainly don't want to get it wrong because we had bad information or weren't informed on time. This line from Peter is comforting for two reasons. First, it affirms what we said at the beginning. This isn't a mystery to solve. God has provided everything that we need. God doesn't play keep away with what it means to follow him or what it means to be a faithful Christian. God provides what we need. Second, immediately, he tells us the overarching how. Because you may think, okay, God's provided, but how do I get to it? Well, Peter tells us. He gives us the big picture of how to access what God has provided. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The way to tap into the resources that God has made available, the way to access what God has already provided, what he will make available, what he is making available, is to get to know God. Is to get to know God and to get to know him more and to get to know him more and to get to know him more for as long as we have breath. Now you may be able to think, well, that's too simple. That sounds too obvious. But God wants good for us. God loves us. God wants us to receive what he's provided. God wants us to be fruitful people who abound in all these good things and are able to overflow in blessings for others. Why would a God like that make the path forward mysterious? Why would he make it complicated? Why would he make it hidden? Now, I'm not saying that it's always going to feel easy. I'm not saying it's always going to feel easy. And hitting the finish line of knowing God is not going to be a short runway. It's going to take us the rest of our lives to know God definitively. But what comfort. What comfort that even as we try to figure out the specifics in each moment or in each situation or in each instance, we always have a reliable direction to head in. We always have a reliable bearing. We have a consistent place to go in order to grow. And that is to know God. As we know God, we will inevitably grow as authentic followers of Jesus. The next step, wherever you are in your journey of following God, wherever you are in your knowledge of Jesus, whether you've decided to follow Jesus or are just curious right now, the next step in growing as a follower of Jesus is always about knowing God. It always has something to do with knowing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to know it more deeply and more truly, and then to let that knowing shape our lives. To let that knowing go from beyond head knowledge to life-changing experience. To let that knowing shape our lives. Now, how do we know God? How do we access, how do we engage in knowing God? Well, at its core, it's the ways people have been getting to know God since the beginning. You engage God in the practices and in the habits that have helped people know God for generations. You connect with God. You pray. You engage with Scripture in whatever way you are able to engage with Scripture. You gather with other followers of Jesus. You contemplate the beauty of God's creation. You serve others. Sometimes you get to know God by interacting with people who don't know God and seeing how God is already at work in their lives. God shows us something about Himself in all the ways that we try to connect with Him. So again, what are you tapping into this season? What are you tapping into today? How might you take a step to know God more deeply and more truly? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And how might that knowing shape you? Because if you let it shape you, you are in the direction of growing as an authentic follower of Jesus. Sometimes what happens as we're getting to know God is that we discover things in us or about us that are not quite what we see in and about God or experience from God. We discover things that are not quite where they need to be. Or we discover things that we just wish we had more of. Right? Maybe we see, okay, yeah, I have love, but God has so much love. I wish I had some more love. I wish I were able to love more. When we discover those things, that could be God extending an invitation, drawing our focus from the general to the specific, and saying, this is what it's going to mean this season to grow more as an authentic follower of Jesus. Sometimes the next step in growing as a follower of Jesus is to focus on something, to focus on a virtue, to focus on a fruit of the Spirit that we know we need a little bit more of, or that we just want a little bit more of. The middle verses of the passage list a series of virtues. Let's call it a virtue ladder. It's a literary format that was commonly employed during that time. It would have a list of traits, and it would frame them in such a way that it felt like each one was a step to the next one, and that you access the next one in order to get to the one after that. Now, here specifically, though Peter employs that literary format, they're not necessarily meant to communicate a blueprint for how to grow as an authentic follower of Jesus. You don't have to wait until you get all those things that are mentioned before love settled before you try to grow in love. What I think is that Peter's using it to illustrate that all of that is part of getting us where we're headed. That all of that is part of getting us to what it looks like to be authentic followers of Jesus. I do love, though, that he starts, his first one, is one that any person who's decided to become a follower of Jesus would have some of. He starts with faith. If you're a follower of Jesus, you started with some degree of faith. It takes some faith to become a follower of Jesus. But then, it's like he's saying, do you need more goodness? Add it. Do you need more knowledge? Add it. Do you need more self-control? Add it. Do you need more perseverance? Add it. Do you need more godliness? Add some more. Do you need some mutual affection? Add some more. Do you need some love? Add some more. Which of these might you need a little bit more of today? Maybe you need a little bit more faith. Maybe the trials that you've been facing or the things that God has been inviting you into in this season feel like they're stretching the capacity of your belief. Add a little bit more. We'll get to how in just a second. Maybe you need a little bit more goodness. moral excellence. Maybe you just need a little bit more information, some more knowledge. Maybe you need to be able to steward yourself rightly in thought and word and deed and your physical aspects, your emotional aspects, your mental aspects. Maybe you need to add some self-control. Maybe you need a little bit more patient willingness to press on. Perhaps God's invitation to you is to add some more perseverance. Perhaps you're realizing my devotion to God is kind of flaky right now. I need to increase in that. Perhaps it's godliness, to have God involved in every aspect of your life that you need to add. Maybe what you need this season is some relational warmth. You need community. It's a great time to realize that because small group season is about to start. And perhaps God is saying, this is the time to finally join or to finally reengage. We could all use the last one, a little bit more love. A little bit of that self-giving, self-sacrificing commitment that God most excellently demonstrated through Jesus on the cross. Which of these might God be inviting you to add a little bit more of today? Now, let's be honest. To approach what God demonstrates through Scripture, we all need more of all of it. But God, in His grace and His mercy, may be inviting us today to just add one. Just work on one today for the next little bit. Because here's the thing, God has made all of them accessible to us at all times. The ability to grow in any of them and in all of them is available to us always. They're all demonstrated in the pages of Scripture. There are people around us who have stories of how they've grown in these things. We can witness what they look like. We can ask God in prayer to grow them in us or to grow the fruit of the Spirit in us. And then, what I want to invite you to do, and this is the key point, once you engage in adding more, the opportunities are going to come for you to practice it. Watch for them. Watch for them. Watch for the opportunities to practice self-control. Watch for the opportunities to exercise faith. Watch for the opportunities to operate in goodness. And then, as the passage tells us, make every effort to add. Make every effort to grow. Make every effort to increase. A few years ago, I was gathered with a mentor and a few other people. And in the midst of the conversation, I just casually happened to mention that a few days before, someone had commented that I wasn't a very patient person, and I didn't understand why. Listen, those of you that are laughing because you know me, that's mean. That's mean, because that's exactly what my mentor did. He started laughing. He thought I was joking when I said that. See, my lack of patience, which is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, was evident to everyone but me. It was clearly an invitation from God to add more. So that's what I did. I asked God, I said, God, help me add more. Don't make that face, Trish. I asked God to grow patience in me. What did I do? I prayed for that on and off for a couple of years. And as I look back on that season, I noticed two things. First, there were always opportunities for me to be patient, but I became more aware of those opportunities. There were times, I don't know if this started from the beginning, but I remember there were times where it felt like something inside me slowed down just enough for me to realize that I could choose to be patient in this moment. And the more I chose to be patient, I can't say that I always chose to be patient, but the more I chose to be patient, the more I felt like I was becoming a more patient person. The second thing that I noticed is that as I was reading Scripture, I felt drawn and started to notice stories where things slowed down, where there were invitations to linger, where things took longer than they should have. And there was blessing in that. Something special happened. It's as if God was drawing my attention to the good fruit, the good blessing that could come if I continued to press on in becoming patient. Now, I know I've not reached the pinnacle of patience. Thank you again for laughing. But a little bit more got added because I was willing to put a part into it. I was willing to make an effort to add what God had already made available. And the people around me are both glad that I did that and are really hoping God speaks to me again to add a little bit more. So I ask you again, but in a different way. What do you need a little bit more of as you seek to grow as an authentic follower of Jesus? Identify it. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, joy, peace, faithfulness, faith. What do you need? And what will making every effort to add it look like? What's it going to look like for you this week? Because God has made all of that available to you and to me. Access it. Tap into it. It will bring about good in you and will bless the people around you. You will grow in becoming the person you were made to be, an authentic follower of Jesus. The last few verses talk about the outcomes of us growing and becoming authentic followers of Jesus, of accessing what God has made available. It also offers a caution against choosing not to, against opting out. So let's refresh what the passage says and then I'll summarize for us. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, you will never stumble. That's one of the phrases in the passage. Developing as authentic followers of Jesus readies us to face the challenges, the obstacles, and the opposition that will come. Think of the hits you've taken in life. Maybe you're in the midst of taking one right now. Sometimes we've pressed through quickly. Sometimes we've been thrown for a loop for a season. Some of us have been knocked down for a while. Some of us feel knocked down today. What if you'd had an increased measure of all the things that we talked about earlier in the passage? Of faith, of goodness, of knowledge, of self-control, of perseverance, of godliness, of mutual affection and love. We likely would have been able to take that hit a little bit better than we did. Or maybe would have been ready to get up a little bit faster. Or maybe we wouldn't have been so thrown off course as we were. There's grace and peace and mercy in the midst of all that. But folks, the reality is that none of us are done with obstacles. None of us are done with challenges. None of us are done with opposition. It's part of living in a world with brokenness. And God has made available everything that we need so that when we face challenges, when we face obstacles, when we face opposition, we are not knocked down for the count. We may take the blow. We may take the hit. But he's made available everything that we need to face it. It's not that we won't feel the blows. Please don't hear me say that. But I think of us tapping into God has made available to us like that one song, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. You're never going to keep me down. In the end, folks, if we press on, if we grow as authentic followers of Jesus, we will experience what we have been made for, life to the fullest for all time, with all that God has provided for us. The next thing to summarize this section is that developing authentic followers as authentic followers of Jesus produces blessing and draws people to God. The passage implies that growing is not just for our sake. It's a crucial component to how we fulfill our mission. That's why it says that if we don't, we will be unproductive and ineffective. The more we add of what God has made available, the more we resemble the Jesus that we say that we follow. And folks, that Jesus is compelling. And the more people see in us the Jesus that we say that we follow, the more they'll want to follow him too. The more they'll want to follow him too. When Peter offers what what I would call a caution. He says that folks that don't access these things that God has made available, it's like they don't have a vision for what life with God is like. And they act as if they've forgotten how significant the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is. They've forgotten how important God's forgiveness has been in their lives. They undervalue the blessing of God. They undervalue the abundant provision of God. That's a sobering thought. It is a sobering thought to think that we could undervalue or underappreciate something so great as salvation, as forgiveness, and as God making so much good available to us. Folks, God has provided generously and abundantly for us and for all of humanity throughout history. God has saved us. God has forgiven us. God has pursued us. God has made available everything that we need to live the lives we were made for, to grow as authentic followers of Jesus. So don't let the idea that we have ready access to so much lead you to undervalue its significance, its importance, its worth. Don't let it breed complacency in you. Don't let the fact that you can access it whenever make you complacent. Resist that. Listen to the invitation from the passage. The passage, it's balanced. It paints this abundantly generous picture. And then at the same time, it says, make every effort to access these things. So folks, make every effort. Tap into it. Access what God has made available. Developing as authentic followers of Jesus is a way that we acknowledge and express gratitude for God's abundant provision and generous blessings. It is a response, the appropriate response to all that God has done for us. So I ask you once again to close this sermon. What have you been tapping into this season? And what are you going to tap into today? As I pray now, would you pray to the Lord your answer? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are the generous provider. Thank you that you have given everything that we need. Thank you, Lord, that you gave Jesus. Thank you that through his life, death, and resurrection, we have salvation, we have forgiveness. The path to life, to the fullest for all time, has been made open to us. Lord, we don't take that for granted. Lord, we don't take for granted that in addition to that, you've provided and made available everything that we need to live good lives, to be people of blessing. And Lord, we're grateful that you invite us to add a little bit more of whatever's next. So Lord, listen to our prayers. Listen to the prayers of your daughters and sons. Listen to them say, I want to tap into this a little bit more this week. And may they find, Lord, may they find you providing for them what they've asked for. Draw them into Scripture. Give them opportunities. Make them aware. And Lord, encourage them with your Spirit to make every effort to add and to grow, to bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, as you're able, would you stand and respond in worship?